Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Celebrating this one reality which changes our reality, and that is that Jesus is not dead, he is alive. Jesus went to the tomb like me and he came up like I'm going to be. That Jesus went down dead and he came up alive. So Jesus is alive. So when we bring these requests before God, we're not coming to a statue or a monument. We're coming to a living God who hears us. We're not coming to a monument, a point or a time of history. We're not coming to a piece of rock or a stick or a pile of stones. We're coming to a living Saviour. Woohoo! I think that's kind of worth a woohoo. Go woohoo! I don't know. Some of you may never come back again, but at least you're going to go with a woohoo. Because as part of the body of Christ, Jesus puts a woohoo into our lives. And this woohoo comes from the Holy Spirit. So this is just organization. We ask people to come in. What do you want God to do today? What's the need in your heart today? Not because we're kind of trying to trip people up. It's because we know we belong and live with a God who hears us. We have a relationship with a God who the Bible says inclines his head. Isn't that amazing? You would think God has got loads of stuff to think about. He's got loads of issues to consider. And yet as soon as I say, God, I need some help right now, he inclines. Just imagine that. In the busyness of our day, doing whatever we do, what is it that stops us in our tracks and gets our full attention? I don't know what that is. Maybe you've done something wrong. Maybe someone says, can you help me with this? Maybe someone's not turned up. Maybe someone's just upset. I don't know what it is that grabs our attention. But what the Bible says grabs God's attention is you. And it's me. Isn't that great? I don't want God to lay back with nothing to do. But let me tell you this, God doesn't want to sit back with nothing to do. So he's waiting for us to say, God, I need some help. God, can you please do this? God, can you do that? God, can you change that? And the Bible says, as soon as I ask, God is doing something. As soon as I seek, God is revealing something. And as soon as I knock, God is opening something. And that's what these blue cards are for. And then in probably the same moment of time, usually, the answer, the download, the yes, I've done it, the yes, I can begins to come. And those blue cards here in our organization change to orange. Well, every time I see an orange card, it reminds me that Jesus hears us. It's not about how well do we dish out the blue cards and how well do we collect the orange ones. It reminds me that actually Jesus is a hearing God. Jesus listens to me, is concerned for me, his ear is inclined towards me, and it is for you. So what I'm describing is an organism, if I can describe God in a way. God is alive. Father God is alive. The Son of God is alive, and the Holy Spirit is alive. So the only way that you and I can, some of you went even more yes with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's okay. We can only really experience the fullness of God when we meet together in God's presence. It's only possible, the Bible says, for you and for me to enjoy the promises of God and his faithfulness. The only way that we can fully understand the tremendous gift that the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit brings, and we can only really move into the service of Jesus in the way that Jesus, remember when he appeared, I don't know if you know this story, everybody rushed around him and said, what can we do for you? You know, are you this one? Are you that one? And Jesus says, please don't serve me. I've come to serve you. Jesus, who was the greatest master in the whole of the universe, it wasn't He-Man. We can't remember that. Master of the universe, never mind, okay. Right, mate, I'm glad you came. But Jesus is the master of the universe. I'll try and make the jokes a little bit younger or maybe a bit older. I have no idea. But Jesus came as the master of the universe from heaven to the earth, and he lived as a master of the universe. He lived in the body. You could touch Jesus. You could talk to Jesus. You could listen to Jesus. Jesus reflected the reality that God is not an organizer. He's an organism. He's alive. Just pinch yourself. If you can't do that, pinch somebody next. No, just pinch yourself. It's nicer. Come on, just pinch it. Go on, sit. He's hard. So over these next few weeks, we want to not just talk about how do we organize ourselves to be the church, but actually what is the organism of the church? What is the tremendous dynamic that Jesus has designed, which is called the church or the body of Christ? So you're slightly interested in knowing what that is. Nobody. All right, let's go and have a cup of tea. Are you interested to find out what that is? You are. So in Ephesians 1, I don't know whether they'll find it. Jonathan, you're on it. Thank you, Jesus, for this man up here typing in German. It's going to come up behind me. It looks like a different language. It says Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. We find a prayer here that's been prayed for a couple of thousand years. A guy called Paul began to pray this. Paul realized that his religion was very organized. He did certain things. Certain things were expected of him. Certain things were demanded of him. There was a consequence if those demands were not met. That was his religion, which was organized. And then suddenly when he was going along, Jesus appeared and had so much light that it made him blind. Jesus didn't take light away. He brought so much light in that you couldn't see anything. It's like when you look at the sun for too long, you end up with a big blob on you like that. Do you know what I mean? How many of you have done that and you know you shouldn't have done? So Jesus appeared before Paul and said, why are you persecuting me? And suddenly the most organized person at that time, Paul said, I was the most organized sinner there was. But I was also the most organized student of the law of God there was. So Paul knew God as an organizer. These things fit in this series. You have to live like this. There's a whole load of rules, a whole load of regulations. Paul had an organized religion. But suddenly the living God appeared and said, wait, stop it. You're persecuting me. Not the organization, but the organism. Have you understand that? Have we got that? Just say yes. Even if you haven't got it, just say yes anyway, because I can move on then. So we find here that Paul, this man who used to follow an organization, suddenly meets the author of the organism, Jesus Christ. And his prayer changes and it says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart, what? Now I know that this bloke here's had an angiogram, all right? And I bet they didn't find any eyes in there, did they?
Oh, sorry.
You had an angiogram.
No, right.
So what's Paul talking about? What Paul's talking about is that our heart opens up to the reality that there's a different way. Your heart doesn't literally have eyes. It's just a reflective thought. It's just, Paul is saying there's something beyond what we see, which our heart must see for us. There's something beyond what I'm looking at, which is called faith, and the eyes of my heart must lay hold of it by faith. So Paul says, I pray that your heart will be enlightened in order that we may know. There's a whole load of words here. And that is that we make a decision. I'm going to open up the eyes of my heart, whatever that is, but I'm going to look up the possibilities that Jesus is alive and Jesus is all right and Jesus loves me and he died for me. And I'm going to receive that not just as a theory, but as my reality. And suddenly a light comes on. Aren't you pleased? I'm pleased that when God was God and nothing else was around him, one of the very first things that he did was turn the light on. Or if you don't know the Bible, at the pointy end called Genesis, just inside the index, which is brilliant, it says, and God said, let there be light. And I just suggest that when we come together in the body of Christ, light becomes very strong. When we become a part of the body of Christ, when we live one with another, Paul says something like this, live in the light with one another. What does that mean? It means I am who I am. And it's all right. My security is in the one who's enlightened me. And it's all right. Are you getting this? I'm trying to show you the difference between living church as organized and living it as an organism that has organization around it. Most of the revivals that have come over the history, certainly the last 225 years, have come out of an organized religion, but the presence of Jesus has come in and blown the organization apart and translated the organism of God. An organization has supported it. So wherever we consider we're at now, whether our walk with Jesus is organized or whether it's very organic, it's very spontaneous, it's full of light, it's full of presence, Jesus wants to take us into a place where it is totally alive in the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Says the hope, Paul goes on to say, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Here's a funny thought. We were singing a little while ago, a couple of phrases, holy, holy, holy one. But this does my brain in, this does my head in, and again, Andrew referred to it. I thought he was going to nick some of my message here. But when Jesus looks at you, he says, hello, holy one. So here's me singing, holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord, and it's true. When God looks at you and looks at me, if you've given your life to Jesus, he's saying, welcome, holy brother. That does my head in. But it's true. And how do we express and experience the full measure of being in holiness within the body of Christ? The body of Christ keeps my life into account. The world doesn't. The world just wants to count it. How much money have you got? How many followers have you got? How many friends on Facebook have you got? So the world wants to count it. Jesus wants to make it count. Which is why you might be the only person sitting on your chair. Hopefully you are. We haven't turned the lights down that low. But your life matters. Your life is really important to God. If we just live in an organized church, whether I'm around or not, whether I pray or not, whether I give or not, doesn't really matter as long as I do. No, we're part of an organism. Now, what I do affects the people around me. What you do affects the people around you. What you're doing right now is affecting the people around you. Because we're an organism, and this is what Paul is trying to help us see. That there is a glorious inheritance in his holy people, in his incomparably great power. What does that mean? It means you can't understand it. It's like this funny hymn that says you are ineffably sublime. What does that mean? Beyond description, and you can't describe it. What does that mean? It means God! Organized religion can only offer what the world offers plus a bit. But the body of Christ, you have the full measure of all of the fullness of God in it. It blows our minds. It changes our hearts. It changes our words and our relationships. Why? Because that's where we're supposed to live, is in a body setting. There's great power. When we can't turn up, let's just give an example of a small group that I'm in. I said this the other Tuesday, so I don't mind saying it again. There's 11 blokes, and you've never seen such a, I was going to say weird, but I won't. I just thought it. You've never seen such a peculiar, that's a Bible word, right? You've never seen such a peculiar range and diversity of blokes in your life. But then we're not living as an organization. We're living as an organism. We want to champion and support and live and be in the light with each other and honor one another. Actually, it doesn't matter how we started. What matters is our journey and our destination. But that's what this is saying. The great power is in the journey. There is something else about God that I must find out, you must find out, and the setting to find that out is within the church, the body of Christ. I'm not going to find out all of the secrets that God has put for me on my own. I'm not going to find out the destinies that God has put in my heart, the destinies that God has put in my gifting and my motivation on my own. No, it's done within the body of Christ. I'm never going to fully realize this tremendous power that God has put into me unless I live it and live out of it in a body setting. It just doesn't work. Otherwise, Jesus would have just made the whole of the world a load of islands and put you on your own. I am an island in the sun. Yeah, really? That isn't what this seems to be saying. It says that power is the same as the... This is interesting. This is relevant, isn't it? How many of you can remember last Sunday? Okay, anybody with short-term memory loss, we'll pray for you. Yeah, okay. This power that is at work in me as a living stone, it's this power that makes me something which is inert to something which is active. This power of relationship is the same power that God exerted when he raised Christ up from the grave. Now, I can't imagine what that power is, but I don't have to. All I need to recognize is it's there. Because Jesus is alive. So therefore, this must be true then. Bless you.
I was there for 5 hours in 1964. And I asked the Lord to give me back my life. And after 5 hours, he gave it back to me. But the power in my room was then... I was on a bed sitter, and then there were wheels underneath, and the power in my room moved me from one side to the
Come
other
on.
Side, and the walls were moving, and the floor was going. I thought, my God, is this power? And I had never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time. And out of my mouth came a most powerful voice. And I thought, my goodness, what is that coming out of my mouth? My whole body was shaking. The power is fantastic.
I'm going to sit down. Here's a thought. Have you been encouraged by that?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been if you wouldn't have been here today. That's my point. What Louisa is describing is not organized healthcare. What Louisa is describing is not the organization that really cared for Larry, but God intervened. What Louisa is describing is not an ABC of resuscitation, airways, breathing, whatever. It's not that. It's the very nature and presence of Jesus. If you want to know more about it, read a book. It's powerful. It'll make your hair go curly like mine used to be. Who laughed? <You're sacked. laughs> This power is the same power, far above all rule and all authority, all power and all dominion. There isn't anything left. If we take away what we think about things, what we call them, the things that influence us positively and negatively, if we park all those to one side, the only thing that is left that influences you is you. I am my biggest critic, and so are you, your biggest critic. But I'm also my greatest champion, and so are you, your greatest champion. Proverbs puts it this way: as a man or a woman thinks, so he becomes. How you're thinking right now is how you are right now. It's not Freudianism. I'm alive, therefore I think, therefore I am. No, I am. I am first. But this great power, when we put it in a setting of body, is this is how I can think straight. So why I love my small group is because it's positive, it's open. There's been some harsh realities come out of it, hasn't there? But I'll tell you what, truth is underlying all of them. Man, there's been some really black moments, some really dire moments, and that's just me. There's been some really difficult stuff, but underneath it has been the light of this power. Do you understand that? So it's certainly, I'm sure some of these other guys over the next couple of weeks, maybe they get some opportunities to share some story. But I said last Tuesday, I don't think I've ever been with a bunch of men so open as I am with these guys. Why? Because I'm not made to be organized. I'm made to be an organism, knitted together with living stones. Yes, there's organization. When do we meet? Here. Where do we meet? There. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's kind of prepare and then see what God does. So it's not that we just rock around like some pink cloud. God doesn't do that. But I suspect, unless you really are out there, and some of you might be, is that God has sent a pink cloud of angels, all with names that you can't pronounce, to say, this is the way, walk in it. I suspect for most of us, we either read the Bible or we prayed and God's told us. Or we've come to someone maybe that we trust that, you know, knows that hears from God, and they've helped us to find God. The point is this, is our destiny will only ever reach together. Wherever it is, whatever our vision, our passion is in my own world, in my own realm, what God is saying here is not, come on, together, all things are possible. Not just me and God, but us and God. God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. The fullness of him who fills everything. Say everything. Can you think of anything that isn't everything? But we do. Actually, we do. Don't sit there and think, well, actually, I don't. We do. Because we still think everything in an organized way, not in an organic way. So everything I do, God needs to be at the center of it, the middle of it, and the end of it. If I pray, God needs to be at the center of it. Okay, that's obvious. If I worship, God needs to be, that's obvious too. If I'm going to go to work, he needs to be at the center of it. If I'm going to love my neighbor, he needs to be at the center of it. If I'm going to love my wife, love my family, he's got to be at the center of it. So when God says everything, he means everything. So what's the point of this kind of introduction? As Jesus was for his earthly ministry, so are we to be through his heavenly ministry. Jesus walked from place to place. That's what we should be doing. Jesus spoke into people's lives. That's what we should be doing. Jesus saw certain things in a certain way. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus touched people that shouldn't have been touched by organization. The organization said, don't touch a dead person. Really? Jesus never went to a funeral. He went to several, and the one commodity that you need in a funeral didn't stay very long. That was a dead person. Shouldn't touch a leper. Jesus did. Shouldn't touch a woman with an issue of blood. Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus broke the organization of religion and came in with the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! So as the body of Jesus was walking around, seeing, touching, speaking, loving, giving, serving, that is how the body of Christ should be today, isn't it? How many of you would say that's true? Right, then here's the challenge. Where does it start? On the end of the same arm that's just been put up. And this is our issue. We like organized church. And actually, we need organic church that is organized. What I think matters. What you think matters. What you think about God matters. What you think about the person next to you really matters. And I just suggest that actually they matter in about the same measure. Bible says something like this. How can we really love God that we don't see when we can't love the person that we do? Or let's put it another way. How can I really, really, really be honest and truthful with God if I'm telling porkies to the person next to me? That's why we need one another. I'm just, as we kind of bring this to a close, I can only be the best me with you. I know Jesus is doing it, and I know you're praying, and you're probably praying really a lot now, saying, when's he going to shut up? I want a cup of tea. Oh, you then. Okay, that's fine. What I'm saying is I can only ever be the best me that God has made with you. I know it's all the power of Jesus. I know that. But I also know that it's not organized. It's organic. But it's also true for you. You're only ever going to be the best you when you are the best you within the body of Christ. And we'll look at some of the reasons why the next couple of weeks. So he walked, he talked, he touched the lives of people. He lived in obedience to God. This is our greatest challenge, I think. And I'm just going to finish with this. Let's see how God wants us to respond. Is that we saw that Jesus is the head. Try it. I mean, some of you would know this, particularly if you get a stiff neck. If your neck doesn't work properly, your head doesn't function properly. Have you found that? And you kind of, somebody over there says hello and you're kind of like that. You know what I'm talking about? Right. So usually the issue is not with the head, because the head is Jesus. It's with the neck. The penny just dropped. Can I just suggest that our neck is called obedience? Can I just suggest that our neck is called obedience? You understand that? So it's fine for the head to say turn left, but if my neck don't want to turn left, I've got to turn left. So my neck is called obedience. That's why the Bible in the Old Testament said, what? You stiff-necked people. Boing! Loads of pennies dropping everywhere. That's why Jesus said it. You stiff-necked. He wasn't moaning about their physicality. He was saying, no, you're too organized in your neck, mate. Because if you really love God, you'll do what I tell you to do. Not what organization tells you, but what I'm telling you. And if our neck is, if our head doesn't work, and how many of you know that if your head isn't quite working, nothing else really works very well either? Or is that just me? You know, when I want to tie my shoelace, if I don't tell something to work, I'm doing this, and people think I'm just weird. I end up tripping over, they do anyway. But I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if I want to pray, my head's going to tell me to do something. If I don't do it, nothing's going to happen. If I just turn up to the prayer meeting because it's organized, but I have a stiff neck, then I might as well stay at home and get well. But if I turn up to pray and my neck's alive, I'm obedient, I'm flowing with God, I'm flowing with the people in the house, I'm flowing with what God is doing, I'm moving this. We've got to be a bit more like that, not like this. He's laughing out there. It's great having students back. I love them. But I could not eat a whole one. But I am prepared to try. Alec, you look thin. So just to finish, his head gives us our authority, the Bible says. Also gives us perception, awareness of our surroundings, a direction, ideas, thoughts, and philosophies, which are all God-given. Preferences are shaped, and champions are born in our head. So here's the challenge for this week. When you look at the mirror of your life tomorrow morning, or whenever it is that you wake up and do your whatever you do, who's looking back at you? Is it a nation changer, life giver, gospel carrier? Is a person looking back at the mirror in your life a holy, living stone? Or are you just trying to be? When you look at the mirror of your life, maybe tonight before you get to bed, boys, and do whatever you're going to do, or maybe in the morning, is who's looking back at you? Is it someone actually God is destined, you're going over, when you just think you've got to go under? Jesus went under so we could go over. So there's a challenge. What you think is how you live. We need to develop our thinking in this house. We're only going to do that together. What do I think about you? Mixed. But God is infiltrating that mixture to such a degree that when I look at you, all I can think is you're a champion. You're going to get there. Man, you're going to end up on the top, not on the bottom. Man, you're going over, you're not going under. Man, God's got a challenge for you, but he's going to help you meet it. That's what I'm thinking. What's the mixed bit? What do I think of me? I've actually got to submit to what God thinks of you. Do you understand that? So if we just need some educating through the word, through the presence of God, which is why impacts are so powerful, which is why small groups are so important, Because in those, you can just be who God's made you to be and be a champion on the journey. It's where you can open up your heart and nobody's going to criticize you. Or if they do, you work it through. How many of you know that nobody's perfect? If you don't know that's true, man, you've just made your biggest mistake. But let me tell you this as we close. We put in the body to work these things through so that we become more than the conquerors that God says we are. So that we become the great achievers in God that God has said we can be. So that we can prevail and overcome in the way that God says we can prevail and overcome. Louise had a tremendous real experience, but I've experienced things similar to that without dying. I've just had to die to a good idea, or die to a preference, or die to a really rubbish attitude, or die to something that I regret saying. And suddenly the power of God has shook my room, the bed of my life, and moved me from here to here. Suddenly, when I've just readjusted the way I think, the power of God hasn't come in me, it's come out of me in a different way. And that's what I'm talking about. Let's all stand together, shall we? I hope and trust that this has spoken to most of you, all of you. It's certainly been speaking to me. I did have notes, I've only used 2 out of 20. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just close our eyes a moment. Father, I want to thank you so much that you didn't just die and rise again to give me my own relationship with you, but you did that so that we together could have a relationship with you and with one another. I thank you, Jesus, so much that you've put us into the body of Christ, the organism, the living temple, the royal priesthood called church. And I thank you that you've called us not just to know you and love you and serve you, but to know and love and serve one another, and to know and love and serve the communities that you've put us into. I thank you so much that we are greater than the sum of all our parts. Amen. That we are the living body of Christ, not a copy, but the same kind of body. That you lived in your humanity is how you want us to live in ours. Amen. Walking in our lives, touching people's lives, healing people, seeing people set free, bringing that word of light and hope to people, but also being real with you and real with one another, giving the love of Jesus without measure. And I thank you, Jesus, that you help me to do that. You help us to do that over this next week. So that next time we gather together, we're going to have so many stories that you've already written, but we're beginning to live in. And I thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. And everybody shouted, Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.